A Guest of the Dead. A Fragment by Franz Kafka. Translated by Dom. I was a guest of the dead. It was a big, clean crypt. A few coffins were already standing there. In them, they looked like ruffled beds which had just been left. There was a desk a bit offside, so that I did not notice it right away. A man with a mighty body was sitting behind it. In his right hand he was holding a feather, in a way that suggested that he was writing, and had stopped just now. The left hand was playing on the vest with a shiny watch chain, and the head was bowed deep to it. A maidservant was sweeping the place out, yet there was nothing to be swept out. Out of some curiosity, I tugged on her headscarf that shadowed her whole face. Only now I saw her. She was a Jewish girl, whom I once knew. She had an amply white face and narrow dark eyes. As she was smiling at me, wearing her rags that turned her into an old woman, I said, "You are playing a comedy here, right?" "Yes," she said. "A little. How you know the ropes?" But then she pointed at the man at the desk and said, "Now go and say hello to him over there. He is the Lord here. As long as you have not said hello to him, I am actually not allowed to talk to you." "Who is he?" I asked, softer. "A French nobleman," she said. "De Poitons is his name." "How did he come here?" I asked. "That I don't know," she said. "It's a big jumble here. We are waiting for one who will bring order."
"Are you that one?"
"Oh, no, no," I said. "That is very sensible," she said. "But now go to the Lord." Thus I went and took a bow. Since he did not lift his head, I only saw his tangled white hair. I said, "Good evening," but he still did not move a bit. A little cat ran around the edge of the table. She had just jumped out of the lap of the Lord and vanished there again. Maybe he did not really look at the watch chain, but down under the table. I now wanted to explain how I had come here, but my acquaintance tugged me on my clothes from behind and whispered, "That's already enough." I was very content with that. I turned to her and we walked arm in arm further into the crypt. The broom was disturbing me. "Throw the broom away," I said. "No, please," she said. "Let me keep it. You do realize that sweeping this place out cannot take me a lot of effort, don't you? Well, yet, I gain certain advantages from it. Those I don't want to abandon. By the way, do you want to stay here?" she asked distractingly.
"Because of you, I will gladly stay," I said slowly.
We now walked our way, pressed close to each other, like a pair of lovers. "Stay, oh stay," she said. "How I longed for you. It's not as bad here as you might dread. And what does it bother us, too, how it is around us?" We walked quietly for a while. We had detached our arms and were now holding each other very closely. We walked down the main hall. On the right and on the left were coffins. The crypt was big, or at least it was very long. It was dark, but not completely. It was a kind of twilight that brightened up a little where we walked and in a small circle around us. Suddenly she said, "Come, I will show you my coffin." That surprised me.
"But you're not dead," I said.
"No," she said.
"But to admit the truth, I don't know my way around here. That is why I am so happy that you've come. In a short while you will understand everything. Already you are probably seeing everything clearer than I am. Anyway, a coffin I have."
We took a right turn into a side corridor, again between two rows with coffins. The way this was set up, it reminded me of a wine cellar that I had seen once. On this way, we also passed a small, not even a meter wide, creek. Then we arrived at the girl's coffin. It was outfitted with pretty lace-trimmed cushions. The girl sat down in it and lured me down, not as much with her waving forefinger, but with her look.
"You good girl," I said,
pulled her headscarf away, and held a hand on the soft wealth of her hair.
I can't stay with you yet. There was someone in the crypt I have to talk to. Don't you want to help me find him?
You have to talk to him? But no obligations apply here, she said.
I am not from here, though.
Do you believe that you'll still manage to get away from here?
Sure, I said.
The less you should waste your time, she said. Then she looked under her pillow and pulled a shirt out from under it. This is my burial shroud, she said, and held it up to me. But I am not wearing it.